Amen. Take your Bible and turn to the last chapter of Galatians. Jonathan, will this microphone work for me?
It will.
Would you please? And I just, you know, you are probably, and I've been a lot of places in the world, and I think, in fact, I'm proud of you, and I brag on you everywhere, and so I'm certain that you're the most intelligent congregation in the entire world. This morning, we're going to test that a little bit, and I can't think of a better place to begin testing it than right back here, because, folks, this choir is great. Are they great? Yeah, I mean, they're awesome. All right, so one of them's running. But I saw this empty chair right here between two of our fine educators. And I want to ask you guys a question, okay? And I think you'll be able to handle this without any problem. In fact, go ahead and put up the next slide on the thing. We want to talk about some seed science. And I don't think either of you teach agriculture, probably.
All right. I teach math.
You both teach math. This will be good. All right, here's the first question. We'll direct it towards you. When you plant a sunflower seed, what do you get?
Sunflower.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that great? Did you hear that? I've got a prize for you. You may have a prize. Next question, Lehman. When you plant corn and peas, what do you get?
Corn and peas.
Wow. Isn't that great? Here, you get a prize.
Thank you.
You are great. Man, see, I told you, I knew that this was an intelligent bunch of people, but I'm not going to keep that just to the choir. We've got college students down here. Let me see the next slide. All right, raise your hand if you know the answer. When you plant marigold seeds, what do you get? One of y'all raise your hand. All right, Jonathan, we always use you. We're not going to do you. Tell me what you get.
Marigolds.
There you go. Next question, please. All right, when you plant watermelon seeds, somebody over here, raise your hand. Who knows what you get? Oh, I see somebody right here. Let's ask you. What do you get?
You get watermelon.
Oh, isn't that? Wow. Here, have one of those. There's a prize. Next one. Here we go. Uh-oh. When you plant thistle seeds, do you know the answer? All right. What do you get?
Thistles.
Thistles. Have a prize. There you go. Other side. Whoa. This is making the television people absolutely horrified. Next question, please. Raise your hand. Somebody over here. When you know. There it is. There's a question. Come here. Can you kind of hit? When you plant kudzu seeds. Do you know what kudzu is? The answer, you'll get it. Okay. What do you get when you plant kudzu seeds?
Kudzu.
There you go. Isn't that great? All right. Somebody back in here, raise your hand for the next one. Oh, up in the balcony. I need a volunteer to run to the balcony. Who will go to the balcony for me? What? Did I not give you a prize? There you go. All right. All right. I need a runner. My son-in-law. Come here, Matthew. Go to the balcony and find somebody who can answer the next question. All the way up, quickly. When you get dandelion seeds.
Dandelion.
All right. Isn't that great? Oh, I got one more. I want you to yell this one out, the whole congregation together, proving how smart we are. When you plant bird seeds, what do you get? I don't know. Let's see. All right. If you'll just put that on the pew there, we'll... Well, you are intelligent. Let's move to the next thing. Let me give you a little information about planting seeds. You know, sometimes when you're planting seeds, the truth is that seeds spread in a lot of different ways. One way they spread is some propagate intentionally. That is, all of you probably have had a flower garden or vegetable garden, and you take seeds and you want something to grow, And so you just simply go and plant it. And if you plant a pea seed or a corn seed, you're going to get pea plant or a corn stalk or a marigold. If you plant marigolds or sunflowers, you're going to get sunflowers. And so it's just an intentional planting, and we understand that. Sometimes, though, seeds are just simply carried kind of by the wind, or they're just spread. I remember standing on the edge, I bet you've done this. We stood on the edge of the carport in the home I grew up in, and in the springtime, summertime, we'd cut watermelons there. How many of you have done that? And then what do you do after you eat watermelon? What do you do with the seeds? Yeah, you keep them and you throw them in the trash can, don't you? No, you spit them. And the next year, out in our yard, we had like watermelon patch. And our dad, at least for a little while, let us cut the grass around the watermelon patch. So in our front yard, we got all this grass right in the middle with watermelon sitting in the middle of it. But you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes if you're talking about dandelions, sometimes if you're talking about watermelon seeds, you don't really mean to plant them, but you do, either by spitting them out or the wind carries them. Here's another way. Sometimes seeds are carried parasitically. That is like a parasite. They attach themselves to something else. I'm not even sure. What's that little burry-looking seed that you get on your pants when you go into the woods? Anybody know what that is? Cuckleburl. That's okay. I remember. Cuckleburl. And there are others like that that will attach yourself. And they do that because God has designed them so they can get to other places and be planted. If you fly internationally and you come back through the Atlanta Airport. How many of you have ever done that? Have you done that? Man, I want to tell you, they will check you out, not for bombs and guns. They will check you out for parasitical plants. You know, they ask, have you been on a farm? Have you walked in the dirt in another country? They bring dogs out to smell your stuff. And they put you through a second machinery that sniffs for plant matter, because they understand that there are some plants that will just take off and swallow other things in our nation if that happens parasitically. Now, you know, one of the ways they learned that, how many of you know kudzu? Let me see your hands. Kudzu. Yeah, not the comic strip. But if you grew up in the South like I did, if you grew up around the farming community, depending on what you read, they brought kudzu over to feed the cattle or as an erosion guard because they knew it would take hold easily and work well. The only problem is cattle don't like it that much. And now this plant, from seed, every pod can have 100 seeds in it, and those they have tons of seeds, and then they send vines out, as you know. And what was intended for good, what was intended to help, has now become something that's almost impossible to control and eradicate. Make sense? I mean, you understand. And that's what seeds do. Some are simply left behind. As we walk through, we leave behind seeds that we didn't know were in the cuff of our pants or captured on something else, and we just drop them there. Now, our passage of Scripture this morning is fairly simple, and I know you understand why I began the way I did. You'll find it in Galatians chapter 6. The key verse is verse 7, but the context is a little larger than that. Beginning in verse 6 and following through to verse 10. But the reality is that this is just true. Here it says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The other verse in verse 8 says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from his own flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to his spirit will from his spirit reap eternal life. And the truth of that is that some people, even those who purposely plant seeds, like marigolds and sunflowers, haphazardly sometimes scatter bad seeds. Sometimes they do it as if they think it won't matter and just leave them where they are. Sometimes they do it in such a way that they know they're not going to be there very long, and so they never see the damage that the seeds they leave cause. But all of us are seed planters. And in this proverbial statement, God is seeking to imprint upon our mind that we are always planting seeds, and whether we see it or not, they germinate and grow, and our lives, the lives that we're leading right now, have a great deal to do with the seeds that we planted in our life yesterday, and the day before yesterday, and the day before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. And a truth that we all need to hear is that most of the time we can't go back and dig up those seeds, and so our life from here forward will be kind of a culmination of some of those seeds planted and the seeds that we are planting today. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, we're going to be planting seeds. Now, here's the thing. Context is always important when we study the Scripture, and I want you to look at the context with me. In fact, let me read the entire paragraph, the context, at least the short context. Here's the way it goes. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from his Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's talk about context. This is verse the one verse that we're focusing on is made up most likely not of something that originated in the apostle's mind, but of a proverb just well known, like you know Proverbs. You're taught Proverbs. Truths are left with us in catchy phrases that don't go away. And this is one. Even if you did not know it was in the Bible, you probably heard it before, right? And someone looked at you and said, you know, what you sow, you're going to reap, or said it to you in some way like that. And so to begin with, just understand this is a proverb. And as a proverb, it has truth that can be gleaned from it in many different areas of our life. And so there are a lot of ways that you can take this, the Holy Spirit can take this and apply it to your life, and you need to be asking God, God, how do I apply this? Keep this before me. Help me as I do my devotions this week to remember this and to realize how many places this touches. But there are at least three context examples that are given within this specific context for us to understand this word. So in verse 6, it says this, to the one who is taught the word, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. And that's a context of stewardship. So whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap is used within this text, within the context of financial stewardship. Now, I know some people will take that and they will blow it out, and some people can even take that and use it almost evilly, if not evilly, in trying to take money from you. That doesn't change the fact that there is a biblical truth here. The proverb of seed planting, sowing and reaping, clearly stands in this context of stewardship. In fact, there are two verses, and you might miss them if you don't catch the euphemisms, the key phrases, the way to say something is said without actually saying it bluntly. This is one of them in verse 6 where it says, the one who is taught the word, that is the congregation, is to share with the one who teaches the word, that is the minister. And he's just talking about church life here, and he's talking about bringing your tithes, and he's talking about giving, and he's talking about the attitude we ought to have before our pastor and our staff. By the way, you know the Bible actually talks about that, about caring for your pastor and your staff. And in fact, there's one other passage where it says, this is the way it says it says, The pastor is worthy of his hire, especially one who teaches and preaches the Word of God well. He is due a double honor. And that's a way of saying that you pay the pastor twice as much as you think he's worth. To say that backwards, if you've been walking around saying, he ain't worth half what we paid, then you're right. See? The context, though, is not just about that one area of stewardship. It's about the area of church life and stewardship altogether. And in fact, in verse 10, if you read the background in the commentary where it says, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are in the household of faith, the most likely scenario is he's again using a euphemism. In fact, Paul, the apostle, was known to take up offerings of mission so that one congregation that was doing well economically could help those who were not doing so well, particularly in the mission to the Jews in Jerusalem. And so there is a context of stewardship here. There's another context, and it's the context of encouragement. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so what he's saying to us is, I know you've been planting seeds, and I know you've been trying hard, and I know sometimes it looks like the seeds are not germinating and they're not growing, or they're putting out one flower when you thought you would get a multitude of flour, or you're getting one grain of corn back for your investment of one grain, and you thought you'd get ears and ears and years. But listen, he is saying, God is saying to us, be encouraged. If you continue to sow, you will, in the right time, in due time, reap what you have been sowing. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give into the temptation, which is very easy to do, isn't it? I mean, in fact, Paul, we're admonished, don't grow weary in well-doing, because it's just easy to do. You just get so busy and you do so much and you invest in some people and maybe they disappoint you, and you invest in this area and it doesn't work out exactly like you wanted to, or you just invest, planting your seeds and it doesn't look like it's paying off. And we get discouraged, and it's easy, even as believers, to turn around and kind of walk away when God is saying to us, listen, you got to wait. In fact, in other seed planting applications and illustrations, the scripture will actually say, you know, the farmer has to be patient. He plants the seed and waters, and he doesn't see anything for a while, and then the sun comes and the rain comes, and in its proper time, the seed grows up. So encouragement. There's another context here. And the other context, besides the context of stewardship and the context of encouragement, is the context of moral warning. And that's found in this passage of Scripture when it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. And in verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh, in this case the flesh being the opposite of the spiritual life, the one who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption. And in fact, if you look back at verse chapter 5, if you want to get a larger context, he says, verse 16, chapter 5, but I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. And just in that short context, of which we will look at in more detail later, and tonight when we gather at 6 o'clock in the chapel for our final study of this book in our January Bible study, we'll be looking at those passages. But you see how he sets up in this case, in this context, the flesh, which is the earthly and sometimes the sinful, over against the Spirit, which is the new man being saved and redeemed and made into the image of Christ. And so on this hand, the flesh is that corruption. On this hand, the Spirit is that regeneration. And he's saying, in the morality of life, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. You're going to reap sin. Last week we talked about words, didn't we? We talked about definitions of words. Sometimes words sound pretty much the same, but you can change one letter and it makes all the difference in the world. And this is one of those. For some people sow and then reap. Some people sow and then weep. David was like that, wasn't he? He sowed to his flesh in the latter part of his life. And in that context, the seed grew of his moral failure. And essentially destroyed much of his family and undid much of the kingdom God was seeking to build through him. So, you can remember it in that way. When it comes to a moral warning, what you sow, you will reap. And you can either reap something good or you can end up weeping because of what you've sown. That's the context of this passage. But we want to look. What are you sowing? Because you are sowing. And sometimes people sow all kinds of things. They might sow mistrust. Sometimes we sow bitterness, don't we? We just leave it wherever we are. Sometimes we sow anger. Sometimes we sow resentment. And listen to me, sometimes it's like the dandelion. Or it's like the seeds of the kudzu. Sometimes we sow those things back in the back somewhere, and then we leave and forget what we've done. We bring it in from our own bitterness. We leave it with somebody else. We walk away and never consciously think what we're doing to the life over there when we leave behind us anger and bitterness and resentment, and we sow it with our lives. Now, on the other hand, sometimes people sow hope. Sometimes people sow encouragement. You know what encouragement means? The very word, it means to put courage into someone. And so they sow encouragement. They bring to you the courage to live out the life of God that God's called you to live. And they leave it with you. Now that generally is pretty intentional. Sometimes people have lived so intentionally encouraging that they've begun to do it unintentionally. And that's pretty cool too, because they just walk by you and you're encouraged. They just say what is their normal heart and you're encouraged. And they plant within your soul peace by sharing the word of God with you, or encouragement, or grace, or hope. Well, when do you plant? Well, if you think with me, there are at least three ways that you plant seeds. You plant seeds with what you say, don't you? So when you speak, you're planting seeds. They may be great seeds, they may be bad seeds. Sometimes we think we're planting great seeds, we plant bad seeds. Sometimes we just leave things and we don't think about it, and we just let it go, and we're just scattering the kudzu. That'll be our word from now on. Well, you know, he was just scattering the kudzu. We do it at home, we do it in the office, we do it at church. But when we speak, we are either leaving a seed of encouragement, hope, peace, grace, or we're leaving anger or bitterness or mistrust. That's why the scripture says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification. We did a little exegesis on that Wednesday night as we met together at prayer meeting, and I shared with the congregation that word that says unwholesome. It really is a word that means rotten. And it really goes like this: let no word out of your mouth that is rotten come forth. No rotten word come forth. And sometimes we do that. Now, another way we do that is the way we act. We're planting seeds by what we do. And so when we act in an encouraging way, when we do things of ministry and mission, sometimes when we're just there, just show up because somebody's having a tough time, we are acting out a seed planting of encouragement. Someone once said ministry is 90% presence. And so when you just show up, you're planting seeds of encouragement. Same thing, when we act in a bad way, a sinful way, we're leaving seeds that are bad. There's another way, and it's one that may not be so obvious, but may be the most important to us. We plant seeds when we think. When you think. You say, well, I can't control that. Well, you can. In many, many ways, you can control what you are thinking. And if you allow yourselves to think in poor ways, if you allow yourself to think in mistrustful ways, if you allow yourself to think in bitter ways, if you allow yourself to think in hopeless ways, then as you do that, what you are doing is planting a seed of hopelessness, of bitterness, of anger, of mistrust in your own soul, and it will pour out. It will multiply like like kudzu. It will multiply like thistle, and it will grow up in your soul. And that's why the Bible talks about a root of bitterness that grows up. And a lot of people, even believers, even Christians, allow that seed planting to go on until, even with the grace of God, the soil ends up accepting those kinds of seeds, and they end up bitter and angry and hopeless. So don't let yourself think that way. The Holy Spirit will work with you. If you're a believer and plant within your life love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, those are the fruits from the seeds of grace that are planted in your life. The reality is, and the lesson is pretty clear. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, plants, that will he also reap. The things we say, do, and think all have consequences in our lives. Your life today is a result of those seeds you planted yesterday. Your relationships with others, for the most part, are a result of the seeds that you planted yesterday. And your relationships tomorrow, and your life tomorrow, and your hope tomorrow, and your outlook tomorrow, and all of those things are going to be the result of the decisions you make today about the seeds you're going to be planting. And we all need to pay attention to what we're pulling out of our bags and planting in the soil. And whether we're just haphazardly throwing them or intentionally planting them or leaving them behind and never seeing the devastating result from what was stuck on our pants and what we walked through. Whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. So let me get real specific. Let's stay with the context of the scripture. What are you sowing? And you'll have to ask your own self that question, because it's going to be different for every one of us. And it may be positive, it may be negative, it may be more positive than negative, it may be more negative than positive. Check yourself. Holy Spirit, look at us. Like David, we pray right now, search me and try me, O Lord, and see if there be any way in me that's displeasing to you, should be the prayer of all of us. And the context, again, is stewardship. Stewardship. Man, if you don't believe the Bible cares about stewardship, because it says so much about our faith. Do you really trust in God? Do you really believe God owns everything? Do you really believe God's going to take care of you? Do you really want to be a part of God's mission and ministry and plan? Are you really invested in the church you're a part of? Are you really invested in kingdom work, in putting your treasures in heaven so that rotten thieves and dust doesn't take care of it and get rid of it? Are you planting there? And you say, man, the Bible doesn't talk. It doesn't have anything to say about me and my money. Man, it's got everything in the world to say about you and your money. Because you and your money has everything to say about the seeds you're planting and the life you're leaving and what you're going to have here and now and later. And stewardship's the context. You don't believe it? Look at Malachi chapter 3. You know the verse we're talking about where it says, test me and try me and see. Right? God says, test me and try me to see. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and test me and try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you blessings which you cannot hold. How are you doing in stewardship? Say, well, it's economically bad times. You know, when it's economically good times, we got an excuse. When it's economically bad times, we got an excuse. The truth is, God wants to know what kind of seeds you're planting. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Say it with me. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Okay. What's the other context? How are you doing in your seed planting with encouragement? If encouragement is the context of your life, how you doing with that? Man, I got to tell you, as I look at this, I have to reevaluate my life some and think about my life, because I'm one of those people, and we're just always cutting up and goofing off and stuff in my house, and that comes over. And I usually mean my kidding to be encouraging, certainly not discouraging, but, you know, sometimes it is. I could say it probably is, and my wife, my daughter would be out there going, no, it is. And you and I both, we just got to look, you know, are we planting encouragement? Are we building hope? in the meetings of the church, in our Sunday school classes, does what we say, well, what kind of flowers are growing from the seeds? Thirdly, in the context of our morality. Context of our morality. Some of us, even in our Christian walk, start talking about grace, and we start talking about God's forgiveness, and we start talking about peace, and we forget that, yes, God is full of grace, He's full of peace, He's full of forgiveness. But the Scripture plainly says, see if you can say it with me, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And a lot of us have reaped some stuff from our earlier years and earlier times and other behaviors that we really regret, don't we? We can't necessarily do anything about that, but God is so gracious in His covering it and redeeming it and bringing something good out of it. But oh, He wants us to learn. Within our morality, married or not married, young or old, there are consequences directly related to our moral behavior. And when we reap to the wind, when we sow to the wind, we reap to the, you know this one? Whirlwind. And we need to pay attention. How's God dealing in your life? Well, here's the end of it all. The conclusion of it goes back to our science lessons we had before. In fact, I want you to help me with this. You've already been told, so the test should be easy. It's almost open book. When you plant sunflower seeds, what do you get? Oh, you can do better than that. When you plant sunflower seeds, what do you get? All right. When you plant thistle seeds, what are you going to get? That's right. And when you plant bird seed, what are you going to get? I don't know either. All right. It is tricky. They say it's bird seed, but I'm telling you, we planted it and we don't ever get them. We don't get them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. On the good and encouraging side, don't lose hope. Hang in there. Keep going. If you're an evangelist, God is going to He's going to reward that seed you're planting of evangelism. If you're an encourager and a teacher of the Word of God, God's going to He's going to reward that, and the seed's going to grow up. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Even from the positive side of it, man, what you sow, you're going to reap. If in due time you do not lose heart. But the other side is one so many times we need to hear. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. With our words, with our actions, even with our thinking, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever kind of seed you sow is the kind of thing you're going to reap. And the people of God all said, Amen. Will you stand with me as we pray?